Welcome to another episode of the Pink Glasses Conversation. I am your host. My name is Olaolua, and today's episode is an amazing one as I get to feature an amazing person. And we just get to talk about, you know, navigating immigration from different lenses. I just kind of see if there are any like uniqueness or differences or similarities, you know, going through immigration. Like, she's in the UK and I'm in the US, and so does it matter? You know, does it matter in the experiences? So if you are migrating, if you have migrated, if you have thoughts to migrate, aka Jackbra, then this episode is definitely for you. So feel free to listen, share, grab a cup of coffee, water, tea, and let's dive into the conversation.
Action!
So in case you all heard the action, that's our guest for today, because she's just as goofy as that. I'm so excited for today's, you know, episode, because... I laugh because, like, I can see her and y'all can't, and it's just hilarious. I think I am more than happy and more than honored to have her as my first guest ever on PGC. Definitely a good and an old friend of mine who doesn't know that her voice is entering the recording, but I'm still gonna keep it that way. And you know, my good friend from since, like, what, 2007. I cannot believe it, but I have known this goofy big head for 16 years now. She said I had to stop being but I have known her for 16 years now. And it has just been amazing. It's been pure joy. Definitely someone that you want to have in your corner. So today I have the big honor of having my very good friend over. You know, she's a student in the UK. She's an amazing person. She's a Jesus baby. She told me to call her a duchess. Yo, you didn't want to know how much I yabbed her. But anyways, I'm going to have her kind of introduce herself and see the bio that she didn't send to me, and, you know, have y'all hear it. And you can just hear a chuckle. So, you know, it's going to be a great episode and a great podcast today. So, my sister, over to you, ma'am, duchess, one and only.
After putting me on the spot like that, how am I supposed to give this introduction? Okay, everyone. My name is I'm tired, Bobby. Actually, I just love to call myself the Duchess. I mean, it sounds very British, you know. Maybe it's the UK in me. You just go, "Ooh, I'm the Duchess."
Oh gosh, yeah.
I was Ayo Bami, full name. Okay, so I've known Ola. Like, I call her Ola. I don't know what everyone else knows her by. You may know her by Anna, Pink Black Lady, the social worker, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of intro, but I call her Ola. I mean, I've known her for, I think, since I was in GS1, junior secondary school. I mean,
first yeah. one. Since 2007.
So, yeah, it's been a long time coming, baby. Oh, good.
Yo. Give some grace to my friend. Give some grace to my friend. Oh my gosh.
We've had our ups and downs, our moments. Well, I mean, we still work strong. Like I said, she's my G for love. My G for love.
Stop singing. Don't ever ask me. Just stop singing.
I'm sorry, guys, but nice to meet you. It's good to be here. I really appreciate everything. I'm so glad. Honored to be here. I feel like I'm collecting an award right now, but
award collector.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're happy to have you. You're very welcome to the Pink Glasses Convo podcast. So y'all, today, like I talked about, we are going to be looking at navigating like immigration from different lenses and how that looks like. So a little bit more background. Mommy's actually in the UK. And of course I'm in the US, right? Talk about friendship through borders, or friendship that is not limited by borders, right? And then maybe one of these days I'm actually gonna have her back.
Sorry to cut the shit.
Can't be short.
Doctors without borders, teachers without borders. We go friendship with our borders.
Oh shit, that's the next one. I'm here. Y'all should wait. There's going to be another episode. Friends without borders. Oh shit, I love it. Yeah. I think now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to have you and my other friend who's back in Nigeria as well. And we're just going to talk about maintaining friendship that isn't limited by location, right? So see, that's how a podcast topic used to come to my medulla oblongata. But so, like, you know, like I was saying, I'm in the US, and Ayobami's in the UK, right? And we have been friends for so long, and we have both gone through the ups and the downs of immigration. Especially as students, like we both, you know, kind of came or migrated, you know, with like student visas or through educational platforms. And so, in one of our conversations, like months back, you know, we're just kind of talking about our experience. And I'm like, so, you know, this is going to be a whole podcast, right? And guys, she ran away from it. She ran away like, ran away. And I'm like, how dare you run away? I don't know. Told me to come back for season two. So you had better be part of this season two that you were clamoring for, right? And so, like, just to give a background as to kind of like why we're having her, she's definitely someone that I know that, you know, is really open and has gone through all the phases, has gone through all the emotions. So Ewa, if you don't mind, like, just giving us a little bit of background to like your immigration process, kind of like what you're studying, where you're at, how long you have left, and anything that you're open and willing to share.
Okay, so let's go. Well, let's start from the old journey. I mean, it's a real journey. I won't lie. I mean, the old happiness of, oh, you want to move abroad or want to migrate, if that's the... No, the right word is Japa, because... That's the right word, and it goes through a lot of process. It takes time, it takes money, it takes energy. And coming from a place where I would say I was kind of comfortable in Nigeria, because, I mean, I had a job that was paying me over 150K per month.
My friend was making money like that, and I did not know. Be featuring your friends in podcast, so you know how much they were earning, so that you can build them. Oh yeah, continue. We'll talk after the podcast. So now I did not get part of that 150K per month on top friendship allowance.
I was saving my money. You know, like I can remember when we were in school, even. So when we were in final year, I never really had this whole, I would say, dream of moving abroad. It didn't fascinate me much, because, I mean, you're aware, most times I come to the UK for holidays, that I get to see their life, and also, it wasn't really fascinating to me, the whole idea of moving abroad. Well, I felt at some point, the whole glamour just gets to you. I remember, it was when I was serving, and I remember there was something particular that actually happened, and it just felt like, oh, this country isn't working, and I just want a safe space. Because even if you're in the right world, if you're okay, if you have money, Nigeria will still happen to you. I'm not saying Nigeria is a good place, because I mean, So when I got here, I felt like I appreciated it more.
Mm-hmm.
It just like oh, I want this safe space where things can work for me. Like when you have things working, I mean, when you talk about the bus system, you talk about it's not even about I would say it's not about the money, you just want a system that works.
True.
If that makes sense. So I would like to like say most times that's what most people that move abroad, like that's what they think about. Like,
yeah.
Because you find out that anybody that actually has the capacity to move abroad is actually not a poor person. Whether it's by for anybody to loan you that kind of money, that means they even feel you have the capacity to pay back.
True.
So that means you are, I would say, above average
mm-hmm.
in the Nigerian society.
True.
So you are okay.
True.
You've seen that, oh, you actually need, I want to say maybe you just want this, I want a safe space for my next generation because
mm-hmm.
oh, if I can give them the opportunity of having to choose between both worlds.
Yeah.
Because I feel that's what inspired my own theory. And if we have a guest, I mean, I call myself the Duchess. I just felt,
oh Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Girl.
You know, you move to the abroad.
My sister, wanted to marry UK now, London. Off my mic. Yeah, I'm not offing the mic. I'm sorry.
Off your mic.
Off my mic. I'm not offing my mic.
Off your mic.
No, I'm not.
Again, if we're talking of the process, it was tiring because I felt like I prayed a lot.
You will know Jesus more. Ah.
It all started in after we finished NYC. I remember, I think I told you that, I was processing
mm-hmm.
Canada. Like, I got my admission to University of Saskatchewan. I got...
How do y'all say that word, though? Yeah, I'm not going to try it.
It is Saskatchewan.
Got it. Got it.
It's like the cold in the Canada region. Well, I mean, I had family there, so it felt like everything was aligning. I mean, things were falling into places. I felt like, by January 2020, I'm going to be in the Canada side of the world. It's like saying hello from the other side. But God had other plans for your baby girl. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
I felt, I remember getting the. Like, because you know when you feel like, my dad would be like, don't worry, they'll give it to you because, you know, you've been traveling, so I don't think, like, everything was supposed to fall into place. You know when you're that confident in yourself?
Yeah.
I didn't really even give you much thought until I got that letter. I remember a month after my birthday, October 2019, I think, yeah. They said, sorry, you've been denied the visa.
Yeah,
because you have no ties to your own country. And at that moment I was like, you guys don't even have an excuse to deny me this visa because
like, how dare you?
Exactly, what do you mean I have no ties to my own country? My family literally is here. And I felt like I feel like they have their reason. I mean, it's their country, it's their law, but to me, it didn't hold water. Like, you can't just tell me I have no ties to my country. That was like a flimsy
excuse
and all. So like I said, my dad was like, this is not right, blah, blah. So we got calling people and we were like, you can appeal or something like that.
Yeah.
Or you can, so I don't know, we just kept bragging and bragging. I remember going to, I think, the embassy in Canada embassy, and they were like, sorry, that because you're doing I think they mentioned something about me doing a postgraduate certificate. That why don't I do a master's when I already have? And I was like, I mean, most people I know actually do a postgraduate certificate when they go to. And I'm like, everything was not just aligning, and it just didn't feel like
the time.
You understand? It just didn't feel right. So by December, I now got my job. Like, although I've been doing training for it, but my mind was not really there. So I now started working in December. Then COVID hit. in March.
I remember that season. I remember that season.
Oh my God.
I remember that season so vividly.
My mom was like, ah, Sherolo, imagine not in La Canada. Eh? Sorry, just for everybody that don't understand. It's like,
you're fine.
Canada in 2020 and COVID is eating in March. You've basically spent maybe 2 months in Canada. You don't know your way around. Like I said, that's when I started actually seeing God, like, in my story. Because at the time when I got the rejection, I felt like, oh, I felt demoralized. I felt like, oh, this is not, like, especially when I start hearing things, and you're like, why would they, like, you start questioning, like, you feel this confidence in your own self. That's what I was saying, because I never really prayed about it, but I never really gave it much thought because I felt confident that I was going to get it. So
yeah,
I didn't really introduce any spiritual factor into
the meat.
Yeah, which it needs. Trust me, which it needs. So at some point, I mean, working and all, at some point I was like, well, this thing doesn't matter, Jare. We'll make it to Nigeria. I mean, blah blah blah. Going down the line. Yeah, obviously it happened. I mean, we have a lot of people that make it here. But I'm just saying, I started giving up on that dream of traveling. Then all of a sudden, UK just announced, oh, now we'll be giving 2 years for study work permit. At some point, I didn't even give them much thought because, I mean, the UK school is, like, expensive. Like,
yeah.
And the after-study route is not that solid. So I was like, I beg, why waste so much money to come here? So I never really gave it a thought until...
Yeah.
2021, I think December. Yes. And then I started applying. Applied to UK schools. Funny enough, I got 5 admissions.
Look at God.
5 different schools.
My God.
And when I saw the fees, I was like, when you start saying some £15,000, that's the.
In pound sterling.
In pound sterling, my dear.
Pound sterling.
I was like, God, where am I going to get this money from? Because basically, it's like, you're grown now. You're no more like the child you, like, you were earlier, where your parents could fund everything. I felt like I was now more matured. I was like, oh, I can't put so much burden on my parents. I mean, I'm not the only child.
You had to kind of take some of that responsibility.
So I was like, I can't put so much pressure on them. So it's like I was trying to deter away from it, like slowly. But one day my mom was like, fellow UK. Yeah, I mean, you've always wanted to study abroad. Why don't you just try out the UK and all that? Oh, they are not giving. It was even when she now mentioned it to me. And I said, actually, I didn't have 5 admissions, but I've not acted on any one of them. That's actually like, don't worry, I will tell your dad about it. And in Bavavu, it was like everything was just going. Like, I didn't even. Like, it felt so. It's so funny to me. Anytime I remember it, I'll be like, when I was really into it, it didn't work out. But when my mind was not on it, like.
Then it worked out.
Yeah, it just worked out. Like,
yeah.
They released policy that favored, like, me. I got a school that was, quite cheap. I got a course that it's something related to what I was actually doing.
True.
I found like there was a balance, like I already had a work experience on the course I'm studying.
Yeah.
So it failed in our world. Everything fell in place. And I was happy, I won't lie. I felt like my prayer, because you know when you go for all these shows and they're like, write your prayer point. I won't lie, you. When people were writing, I want this one. My mom was always good. Make my traveling process easy. Like, I mean, coming from someone that my brother would be like, what are you so excited about? It's not as if it's not traveling. But it just have this, I don't know. I just felt like my prayer was answered and all.
Amen. Preach, sister. preach. So I want us to, then we're gonna kind of go into the experiences after you moved, right? Mm-hmm. So we've talked about some of the highs of like moving, right? And it's interesting because like everyone's immigration process is different. Everyone's immigration journey is different. So even if we're friends and we've been friends for like almost 2 decades now, our immigration experiences were different. So the NYSC that she was talking about is actually a National Youth Service Corps. I call it like a one-year post-college paramilitary service. That's the best way I can describe it to non-Nigerians. And so fun fact is that AY and I actually went to kind of what you call out here in the US middle school and high school together. We went to the same college, and then we did our 1 year paramilitary together. And so we weren't just friends for 16 years. Like, and these were decisions that we specifically made, so to speak. We just happened to have the same, our jobs just happened to be in the same local government area that allowed us to do our 1 year service together. Right. And so, you know, I remember that season because that was the season that I was working on my own immigration, and that's the season I was applying to schools. So unlike AY, who had, you know, I remember back then in college, like the couple of times or once or twice where we had like what you call like summer breaks, and then AY would travel and then my girl would bring me some really khaki jeans. I mean, your girl on the other hand, I've never left the shores of Lagos before, not to even talk about the shores of Nigeria, right? And so she says, okay, you know, but just to tell people that immigration actually is in different phases. There is no one way to how your immigration path and your immigration journey should be like, right? And so like for me, on the other hand, like I was also looking into Canada. Actually, fun fact, I was looking into Canada. I'm like, you know, Canada has better immigration policies. One of my big brother was there, and I'm like, I'm going to move to Canada. I just wanted to leave my mother alone. I wanted to leave Lagos. Please don't let my mother hear this podcast. But I just wanted to leave Lagos, you know. And I told my mom, I hadn't even applied, but I shortlisted the schools. I mean, I'm not going to bore you all with my own immigration story, but I shortlisted the school. I did everything. And guess what? I told my mom was like, Canada, but where are you? I mean, like, meaning like, which Canada? Which of your generation is in Canada? She was like, oh yeah, US, you know, start looking into US. And I fought it. And I remember one of my school mamas, then like I had to, she called my mom, and my mom, of course, cause it's my mom, right? She talks and she gives you 4 sentences and you are kind of, your hands and legs are tied, right? And so my mama that called her to convince her, later was convinced, and was convincing me to go to the US, right? And so like, again, unlike Ayo, not as a thing of pride or anything, like I applied to school, of course you will pray, your prayer points to be, okay, God, I must jackpa. But when I left, jackpa wasn't really, it wasn't as full blown, I mean, in 2019, you know. And even though she was applying before COVID, I actually traveled before COVID and was stuck here in the US. Like, I got here a few months and then COVID hit. So the prayer that I just, this is a lot of times, the prayer that I just, mom was happy about that, I thank God my own child was also during COVID in the UK. Somebody's child was stuck in the UK, guys. Yes. Stuck and locked down. So my mother was sending prayers from Lagos State. My mother was sending Holy Ghost fire to me. Was, you know, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So yeah. To be honest, like it does look different for everyone. Is where I'm trying to go to, like those initial process, the process of moving, the process of coming, where you go to, it does look different, right? But the core, a lot of times, is the same thing. Like you're, like AY rightly said, is that for a lot of people, you're thinking about your next generation, not because our home country is a bad country. Let me just state that fact. You know, I'm pro Nigeria any day, anytime. Not because our home country is a bad one, and not because it's a perfect one at all. Because I'm like, hey, if you are pro Nigeria, come now, let us go. Like my people on Instagram will say, hey, if you're not tired of it, you come. Let's switch at the airport and let's come in. You know, but I think you just think about, you know, you think about your kids, you think about next steps, you think about your career. For a lot of people, they're looking at where is the most suitable, fertile ground for my career. And of course, as Christians, it's also where God is leading you to, right? Because
You can be living in a desert, so to speak, and the Lord will make a way for you. He will bring water from the rock, right? And you can be living in the ocean, and you will just be using baskets to fetch water. May God not let us use baskets to fetch water. You get what I'm saying? And so I think it's just definitely where God is leading you to, and, you know, kind of like that process with it. But I'm super excited to see you on this other end, AY, because I can literally think of time spans and time lapse. You know, I have one of my good friends in my community group. We always call her like timeline. Whenever you're telling her something, she'll be like, timelines. I need timelines. I need timelines. You have to tell her the month, the year. You have to tell her like that, you know. And so I can definitely think of those seasons for you. And now you're in the UK, right? You've been in the UK how long now?
I've been Miss Independent for 9 months. Yeah, that's what I'll call it. Miss Independent. I mean, how would I put this? I'm not a young person. I mean, my mid-20s, so
she's in our peak 20s. But sure, I mean, my friends giving you people so small. Peak 20s. I've not heard that one before.
In other words, you should start saying, oh, I'm in my late 20s.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Like, anytime I think about, like, oh, God, are you already this old?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I felt coming here, I felt it. I would just say it was God's plan because, like I said earlier, I didn't even think about it much and it happened. Boom.
Yeah.
I'm in the new place. I would say I'm this kind of person that growing up, I've always like, fine, you know, being a Christian and all, there's always this space that you regard for God. I mean, for those supernatural things. But I mean, for those things that are within my sight, I always left it to my father on the earth right here. Because I growing up, like, since I was matured, if I had a problem, I'll just be like, well, let me call my dad. I know you have heard me say it a lot, Ola, because I feel like it solves all the problem for me. And I can just say, oh, let me call my dad. I can do this for you. My dad will be like, I'll call someone. Don't worry. Just hold on. And that was the kind of life I was used to.
Yeah.
I was earning that much. I never paid rent. I mean, I said I was earning 150. I don't pay rent. Sometimes my dad would drive me to work. So I was used to a baby girl lifestyle.
Baby girl for life.
But getting here, that's why I tell people that it's not about you being okay. Like, you get here and your mentality literally changed. And I tell people, if you don't really hold on to something greater than you, you lose yourself.
Rich girl!
I feel the Western world, I would say generally, has that hold on you. You, because from here, if I notice people that, especially people that I work with, I notice they taught them independence from a very young age.
True.
So you see someone that is just finishing secondary school here and immediately they're already working, which was something that was absurd in Nigeria. Because next thing you should be thinking of is how to enter
university. How to enter UNILAG. How to enter UI. How to enter IFE. Yes.
They are working and earning, and you start hearing, oh, I'm moving in with my boyfriend, or I want to get my own place. And when you hear that age, and you just be like, oh, I'm just 18 or I'm 17.
Yeah.
Like, when I was 17, I'm on that jam by the same place. Which boyfriend house am I moving into? So
must even let's just pause on that one first. Must they even hear that way you are carrying boyfriend? You know, like
it's cool.
You have not written jump. I remember it was one of my big aunties from my church that followed me to go write that jump that day. Or was it even my mom that went with me to my jump center? By the way, jump is like a it's more like you call, almost like an SAT, right? AY, I think like it's something that it's like that. A government like exam, like a general exam. I think a lot of Koreans, like in Korea, they also have some of those exams that could be similar, where it's like this general exam that if you want to go to college, you have to, right?
To be able to get into like
A-levels.
Yeah, almost like A-levels, exactly. Yeah. But this one is almost mandatory. Like, you need the score with like your other like West African exam, right? To be able to WASC, or what is, or like we call it WAEC, then to be able to go into school. So anyways, that's what we're calling JAMB, you know. But then your head was, I mean, I remember back in the, what you call like final year or senior year in SS3 then, right? We were literally writing WAEC, and all of us left. I remember you were still in the hostel then. We were writing in the middle of WAEC. Weekend, Saturday was JAMB. Tuesday morning was math for WAEC. And all of us were like, which kind of, where could you even think? Not that people didn't have boyfriends, right? But you do raise a very good point about independence. Anyway, sorry to cut you short. Keep going.
That's fine. I mean, that was the first thing I got to learn, like, when I got here. Like, staying on my own, not having to stay with families.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first thing I learned was independence. Like, I needed to get a job. I needed to, you know, cater for myself. I had, like, you literally have no one to say, oh, I will call someone for you. Like, that was what first hit me. And I'm like, I felt like I was alone.
Yeah.
And I'm a type of person, I don't talk. Like, if I'm going through something, I bottle it up because I feel, I'm going to solve it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I felt like, don't worry, if I work hard at it, I mean, people are doing it, so I will do it. My dear people, it doesn't work that way. I feel like that's one thing moving abroad has taught me. Like, you need to, I don't want to use the word strong, so it doesn't come off as bragging, but I feel if you want to move, even if you're financially capable, you actually need to build your mental health. And if you are a Christian, you need to build your faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, say something is going to test it for Jesus. You will be tested, because I'll say I was lucky because I had someone that could help me with my school fees, which was like the large part of the whole expense. And after that, I had to cater for every other thing myself. The visa process, your housing, your monthly, whatever. Like, I had to do that myself. And coming from a place where I was used to, like, the work I was doing was more professional. So,
yeah.
Actually thought I was going to get something like that if I moved here. So my shock was shocked.
Your shock absorber was removed and you were shocked to your core. Yeah.
My core.
Yeah.
I remember getting here and the first thing was trying to get a job. Like, I remember you just keep getting emails of, sorry, unfortunately, this all came, but I was like, God, what am I going to do? Because the old phase that time was people were into care. I mean, I had aunties that were nurses over here. My grandma was a nurse. So being a care worker was something I had already made up my mind to do when coming here. But it felt like care wasn't caring for me. I applied and applied. And they'll say, as a student, that's the easiest job you can get. And I'm like, what's going on? I mean, everybody around me is getting this job, but it felt like it was evading me. Even I that had a little bit of experience, I mean, from caring for passengers and all, it was not just working out for me. Then at some point, I was like, okay, let me look into other field. Care is not going to work out for me. And I remember started looking through retail industry, and I had a couple of friends,
which is similar to your field, right? Which is similar to the field that you're doing.
Yeah. And they go, they're not going to give you that job. They don't give immigrants that job. They mostly give their own people So, you know, getting this backlash, like, if I'm applying for a retail job, I'll just be like, I know they will not give me. Let me just apply like that. You know, that kind of, you've already even pushed it down before you even do it. Like, that was the mindset I was having. And I just remembered the day I got a mail, and they were like, oh, you were successful in your application. Okay, I would like you to come for an interview, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, look at my God.
Remember I told my flatmate, well, I'm not interested. They will not give me. They just want to waste my time. Maybe they don't know I'm black. I'm this kind of person. I, like, growing up in Nigeria, I never really faced anything racial. Like, I really don't. Yeah, people talk about it. I mean, we watch a lot of movies. You know, it's different when you hear about it.
Yeah.
But it's the whole ball game when you experience it.
When you experience it, yep.
Oh, God. It is a whole ball game when you experience it. And I won't lie, it was also shocking. Like, you know, when you come from a place, like, I worked in the airport, and Indian or white or Chinese, so everybody, like, passes through the airport. And,
yeah.
I mean, we relate. So I've thought, or I imagined, I mean, the Western world is
Western.
Going to be like that. Like, it's Western. I felt
bombastic side eye.
Like, people should be enlightened by now. It was really bombastic side eyes for
bombastic
me.
Bombastic side eye.
You just be like, in this day and age, there are still some people that feel like, I don't even want to go there because that's a whole
different dynamic. Thing.
Telling you, so that should just be for
another thing,
because.
But I do want us to talk about it, though. I think you have raised, like, there's one thing I want to ask you, and we're probably going to end on that one thing that I faced, and I think I've shared my experience before. But you did raise three very important things. You talked about the difference in independence, right? Even though you're in the UK and it's a different country, again, like, the topic is navigating immigration, like, from different lenses, right? The UK and the US experience, right? Even though we're in different countries, our experiences were still very similar, right? Maybe they panned out in different ways. Maybe we worked in different spaces. I mean, I worked for my school, you know, you work for a retail, or you work in retail, actually. And so, but you raise a very important thing about independence, right? Back home, I always talk about it. We live in a very communal culture, right?
Yeah.
You know the person that is selling pepe. You know the person that you can go downstairs, walk down the street.
Yeah. You can call for money. Like,
you can buy things on credit. Like, it will tell you something is 200 naira. Naira is our legal tender. You give the tender, you'll be like, it's not bad. I mean, you cannot collect 120, right? There was this level of codependence, communal codependence. And so coming from all of that, where you can go to your auntie's house and sleep, you can go to your uncle's house and sleep, your grandma's house is there. And then you come to you move to a country. Now it tells us, regardless of where the country is, there's still that independence, right? My auntie lived in Georgia, like, biological auntie now. I mean, I've said a lot of big brother, big sister, who are more family friends and stuff. But now I'm talking about my biological aunt, lived in Georgia, where I schooled at. And I can count, not because she's a bad person, I love her, but I can count the number of times I was there, like, that I went there. Of course, with the impact of COVID. But because I had to be at school, right? There's just that independence. There's just that you got to work this out. You got to do it. And the truth is, you have to hold on to something. If not, you're going to fall for everything, right? And if you're a person of faith, you definitely have to, you're Jesus. You have to put yourself, you know, when we were small, they would wrap our clothes like this. Or when my home church, right? Because we used to wear very long gowns. They will tie, if you're a child and they don't want you to go out when they're not there, they will tie the underneath of your garments with the underneath of their garments. So they will tie it together so that none of you can. If one person is going, if the snail is moving, the body of the snail is moving with it, right? And so that's how you hold on to Jesus in this immigration journey. Because if not, A lot of things are going to take your attention. A lot of things are going to take your faith. A lot of things are going to take your values, right? Because we come from a very cultural background. We come from a very religious background. It doesn't matter whether it's Christianity or Islam. I mean, I don't know the more religious name, but Ileya is coming and Nigeria is going on another 2 days holiday. When did they just do Muslim fast? When they will just do Easter? When they will just do, right? They're going to take Christmas very soon. Before you know it now, because it's a very religious community that we come from. And so regardless of where we are, if it's not dipped in religion, if it's not dipped in culture, it's just different. And then let's not even talk about, I know you don't want to talk about it, but me, I like to shatter tables. Let's just first touch on the issue of racism. Just a little bit. Just, it's, let's just sprinkle it on top of it. Just a sprinkle. What we experienced back then was tribalism, right?
Yeah.
Which is still very much existing. Bombastic side eye to everyone who is still tribalistic. But it was based on tribe of like, you are Yoruba, I'm Igbo, you can't marry Igbo, I can't marry Hausa, you can't marry Yoruba, right? But it wasn't like, I would say like, the color of my skin never mattered until I entered the shores of the United States, right? I never thought about the fact that like, I'm black. Maybe shout out to the people who want to tone their skin, who want to turn from the moon to the sun all of a sudden. God bless y'all. But the color of my skin never really mattered to me. Maybe the shade, maybe the variation or the intensity or the darkness of my color. But the color of my skin was never a thing. And it sounds like that was the same experience that you are having, right? But the moment you cross the border from your home country, the moment we cross the border from what we called home, which is still home to us, by the way, Nigeria is always going to be home. The moment we cross the border, now the color of our skin matters. We're thinking about the color of our skin when we walk into our job. We're thinking about the color of our skin when we walk into class. We're thinking about the color of our skin when we walk into the mall, right? Because it does matter. We're not saying that you have to be colorblind. We're saying that you have to be aware that color exists, right? And so, like, talking about color. So I think we talked about this a couple of months ago. Was the issue of accents and language. I want to first hear your story and I'll keep quiet.
Okay, now this one I have to speak.
I knew I had something that will make you speak.
I studied English, so I mean,
yes, I speak, my friend. Speak.
Structure. And I mean, when you say you're coming to the UK, the home of English, and you get here and everybody's just speaking rubbish, yeah. And I'll be like, you guys are just using your accent to cover it up. You lack basic English. You don't know anything. You don't know. Like, it was shocking to me because I remember when I started working and maybe a person want to get something and it's just an item and they go, oh, I want them one. And I'll be like, well, I know it's a slang or their own variation of speaking, but I was shocked that, I mean, you should speak proper English.
Yes, my darling.
I mean, they just write IELTS, like an English-based exam, to prove we can communicate in English.
Mm.
And you don't even do a good job. So, number one, I would like to even send that to IELTS. Like, don't tension with Nigerians.
You see,
I know
we're not ready for the conversation, right? That they'll be making us do English exams. When we're an English-speaking country, IELTS, we are watching you.
The accent and all, but I mean, I feel like I speak better English. And one thing I also noticed was, initially when I first started, it was tough for me. Like, I where I'm working, I wouldn't say I'm the only black person, but we that were black, we hardly see ourselves because it's a shift kind of work.
Yeah.
And even if I'm working by two, the other person is not around.
Yeah.
Like, I can be on the tills and I'll be the only black. And the thought should just come to my head. Like, something that shouldn't even matter. Like, it took me a lot to disregard it from my head. I would just be the only black person at that moment. And I'll be like, God, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, you know when you can't... How would they... In Yoruba, you say, oh, Farah join you. There's nobody you can
not use your body to resemble me. Sorry, I do not translate that in better English.
I relate to me, like, it was daunting for me at some point. Mm. Like, at some point, I got scared of going to work because some people, like, shout out, like, it's not everyone. Like, when I say this thing, I try to tell people that it's just the way in Nigeria, too, the way you have some mean people and people that just disregard human feeling. Mm. I feel it's the same way they have them too over here.
Yeah.
I mean, they are the nice ones that try to, although they feel they are trying to understand you, mm-hmm. so sometimes they make it worse because they really don't get you.
But yeah,
them try. It took me a while to actually understand them because imagine someone telling me, "Oh, they never knew I was educated."
Ah, my dear, you don't even want me to start breaking this table.
Like, why would you assume I'm not educated? Like,
You know the one I used to hear. Sorry, I'm gonna cut you short. You know the one I used to hear. What, you speak good English?
Remember, I had to tell people that English is our official, like, we have over 500 languages.
Excuse
the only way we
you?
Can communicate with ourselves is to speak English. And I'm like, I don't know, you guys don't do, I feel like they tension us a lot in our own education system. We learn about them, we learn about ourselves, and they don't even bother to learn about us.
How can I clap for you? How can I clap for you, my friend? How can I start clap right now? Standing ovation.
Colonized. I felt like it was annoying at some point. Like,
yep.
It was annoying because I felt, I mean, that's why we are going to school. You should be educated also.
So it's not just the US.
Yes. Like, you see young people and they'll be like, oh, they didn't know English is spoken in Africa. Or they'll say,
I've had people ask me, like, how did you get to the US? My dear, I entered Edo Airways. That's how I got to the US. If you ask me that question over time, if I look at you.
I remember I felt when I started having people come towards me, because normally when I go to work it's just to do my work.
Mm.
People, like, one thing about this, they don't even greet you, because before when I see people I greet them, I notice they don't respond. Mm. I feel bad. Like, I just waited this person, put it down, like, you know, all those kind of things. You know, like, then I noticed it's there. You know, one thing I also like, we Nigerians, we actually accommodate. Like, I've noticed that thing about Nigerians. I can't say about other people. We learn fast how people behave and we quickly accept people's culture.
Mm.
Like, before I would say, oh, it used to annoy me because it's not something I was used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I adapted. I noticed that, they may not greet you now, but once they come to us here, they want to ask you something. They're all lovely and all smiles.
Yeah.
I was telling someone, I said, one thing that scared me most was the fake smile. Like, don't smile at me.
They'll smile at, they'll bless your heart and they'll be like, just get out of my way.
Then when they pass, they go, And you'll be like, why the fake energy? Like, you don't need to smile at me. I'm not asking you to smile at me. I don't need you to smile. I'm not, like, they feel because they don't want you to feel they're racist. And I mean, this is 2023. There are some things we should have moved past. They now go in front of you. And
break the table, my friend.
And I'm like, it's actually not necessary. Like, that's one thing I noticed. Like, once they feel comfortable, I notice people I talk to at work don't do that anymore.
Mm.
They don't give me that fake smile anymore.
You know the difference after a while.
Yeah, you now start knowing the difference. Like,
mm-hmm.
And one thing I've noticed is most of them are actually still kind of, they don't want to come off as racist or, and I'm like, you people should take a chill pill. Like, it's the fact that you are trying to not do it that now makes you, like,
it makes it evident that you're actually doing it.
You're actually doing it. Like, you should actually take a chill pill and just treat this person as a human being. Like, let's forget this race or no race. I'm like,
No. I thought it was only me. I mean, I've had to be taken off of cases or case due to like my accent, you know. Because someone said I had an accent, right? And it was just a microaggressive statement. But then I'm like, no offense. I love you all. Like, and if you are American and you walk into Nigeria right now and you walk into Isaleko market, those mama there will not answer you because they will say they cannot hear your accent. So the way you feel like immigrants have an accent is the way you all have accents to people as well. Whether you're English, whether you're American, whether you're British. And like you said, I thought it was only a US thing. It's like back when I was in school, like in college, like we learn about other countries and other policies as well. Yeah. And you know what's going on and their history and all of that, including ours.
It's like we understand you and you don't understand us.
There's no excuse for ignorance in 2023 because you have the internet. You cannot be asking me that.
Like this,
do I know Candy? Have I seen Candy before? He hurts me. He hurts my body.
The young person, the way they complain of their mental health, I mean, I was about to say, we too, our mental health matters. Not just you guys. We too, we have mental health.
For like, sure, Emmy.
Yes. Because there's a, like, I remember there was a time I was in the fitting rooms and there was this discussion. There was a lady and she was trying to remember because I think she studied philosophy in college. And I did English, so some of my electives were also philosophy. So I kind of understood what she was trying to say. Then she found it out because she was trying to remember. So I just helped her out. I was like, oh, it was a theory that was introduced by Sigmund Freud. And literally everyone turned and looked at me.
No, you're joking.
I felt embarrassed, like, have I done something wrong? I'm like, the person you're, like, what you're trying to remember, it was a chair. Like, I had to rephrase, like, try to say, maybe I said it the wrong way. Do you understand?
No,
like, I felt
way.
So embarrassed the way everybody looked at me. Then she now went, oh, she's surprised. Like, she didn't know.
Yo.
I was educated. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yo.
Like, I'm like, I don't understand. It felt, you know, at some point it got very embarrassing. But again, like I said, we Nigerians, we adapt quickly. At that moment, it was shocking. It was scary. Like,
come on.
We are not educated. But I mean, she now said, oh, that I look so young, she thought I was 19. I was like, no, I'm not 19. I'm actually doing my master's. And I feel like I would say, I had to kill that mindset, like, of, how will I put it, of castigating them. Now I try to put on the mindset of I want to understand them.
Yeah, a cloak of graciousness.
Because
I
now noticed, like, after that conversation, this lady in particular, she actually tried to get closer to me because at first it was fascinating. So I feel the problem here is they not actually learning about us. So when they see a black person or an immigrant, as they say, they believe, oh, this person is probably not educated. She's trying to escape an ash, like a reality of our country and moving here for a better life.
And living with giraffe in her backyard because of coming to America.
That notion they have. And so when they see that, oh, this person is actually learned, they try to, like, change. I mean, those that we change, I mean, there are still some that.
I understand.
You get,
is this your job? I understand.
But you see that, I now notice that everyone literally, like, now try to understand. Like, when I'm speaking now, I was telling someone, I said, I don't even bother to fake the accent anymore. I try to joke. I just try to speak as clear as possible.
Yeah.
and I discover they actually understand, like, they do, except if they're just trying to be funny, because sometimes you have a customer that just wants to be annoying.
Don't annoy my friend, though. I can't fight you.
I said before, it's before it just annoying you. Or when you say next customer and they see, oh, you're the black person, and they just form. We're not going to answer that call.
Yeah.
So, I literally just called you, but you wait till another caller is free and you go. And I'm like, at first, it all got to me. I won't lie. I felt like that period of my life, I felt daunted.
Yeah.
But again, that's why I said you need God, because I remember
it gives you kindness.
Yes. I just think God just changed my heart, like changed the way I think. Because two of us cannot be the I would say the whites cannot be, I don't want to use the word feeling superior, and me to want to feel, I don't want to use the word superior. Like, both of us cannot be mad. I feel that's the best way to.
Madness. Yes. Wait, somebody's mad. FYI. It's not an abuse, yo. It's like.
No.
In Nigeria, it's in terms. Let me explain. It's in Nigeria, it's. I don't know how to explain. Mommy puts me in a rumble. But, anyways, she's not, you know, it's not an abuse or anything. It's a state of, like. Kind of like
angered.
We can't be we can't be angered. We can't be hyped about the same thing, right?
Yeah, or like, it has to be someone that has to actually calm down,
yeah,
and explain to the other person, like, yeah, that, because I feel you're wrong, you feel I'm wrong. Like, someone have to actually let them know they are wrong. Like, and you will now notice that some people are willing to actually be corrected.
Yeah,
because that's one thing I've noticed. Like, there are some. I won't lie, most of them actually, they stand corrected. I'll tell, oh, we didn't know. Oh, I didn't know. Like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, wow. Like, you now notice, like, oh, now they're interested in what you're doing. I had a person come to me and she was like, oh, she's going to college very soon and she doesn't know, like, she would like somebody. And I felt like, wow. Like, I've come from a place where people pretend like they don't hear what I'm saying to you coming to ask me for something.
Gross.
Do you understand? Yeah. So to me, that's gross. So, I'll say, there will always be the bad eggs, but I mean, one thing I've tried to focus on the positive. Like,
yeah.
That's what I've tried to do.
Yeah.
Not being on my side, because one thing I've always been praying for is peace. Because believe me, if you are here and you do not pray for peace of mind, something is going to disturb you.
True.
Not your rent, it's about to go.
Sure,
it is all gold. I need to save up for something. That's me, I am still a student, so there's a lot of saving up to do, there's a lot of things to do. But I know God being on my side,
but say Jesus, these baby, people,
yeah, yes. So, just at this point, the UK have taught me to also depend on my Heavenly Father for earthly things,
yes,
because my daddy is a.
Yeah.
So now I have to call to my heavenly daddy. There's nobody I can call in Nigeria and say, ah, my daughter is at this one. Come on.
True.
This one, you're on your own. Because we are man, we actually can do things. Like, I've literally, like, when, you know this story now? And we got laid. I don't want to use the word laid. Not laid, though. It was like a Christmas, temporary something, and you know, with the prospect of you continue even after, but that's how it has always been. But at the end of it, oh, it wasn't like that,
yeah.
Oh, God, I prayed. Like, I remember there was a day I just sat down on the floor of my room and I started crying. I was like, God, I don't know what to do. Like, I could not call home. I remember my parent called me that time. I was crying, but I didn't want him to know I was crying. And I just went, oh, I'm fine, I'm okay. Like, I don't want to stress you guys. You've done a lot. Like, literally, it's not easy to cough out over £10,000. Like, I don't want to know anything, but it's not. Because I'm not from any grand family that is super rich like that. I would just say, yeah, okay, like, we're comfortable, but it's not easy. So I felt like I could not tell them, oh, I need to pay my rent. At least if you don't pay up, you could literally be on the street. Because I thought it was when I got here, I started seeing homelessness. Like, people are literally homeless. Like, I know in Nigeria, we had beggars, I won't say they were homeless. It felt real here because you could mess up 1 month and that's it.
Yeah. Like, if before you could be on the street in Nigeria, like,
I mean,
you must have exhausted, like, your family members have left you.
There's no option. The month can actually land you outside. So I remember that day I just sat down like, God, I don't have anywhere to get my next month rent. I don't have and I remember that was when this Hallelujah challenge was going on, and God on my side, I was quite faithful to it. And I like to say this, God is faithful. Like,
amen.
I don't know. I don't want to make it sound like I'm preaching.
Preach. Yeah. No, you are right. I think, I think we have touched on a lot. We have mentioned a lot of things, and I do like where the Lord is taking us to, even as we kind of wrap things up, is the fact that one, we still will continue to be gracious to people, right? Even if they are not as gracious to us as we know that we deserve. I have had some amazing non-Nigerian, non-black friends, and this is especially living out here, where I currently do, friends who have stood up for me that I know that if push comes to shove, I would reach out to them and they will always be in my corner, right? And so I think one thing that God has definitely taught me through where I am right now is to see people, right? I'm not saying don't see color, but to see people as his children. And so it's been a blessing to have those people. So definitely extending a hand of graciousness and wearing the cloak of graciousness to people as well. I think that's the most paramount, and holding on to God. Nothing beats it. Trust me. There's nothing you can do. You know, moments of lack. When you cannot call home. What do you want to call? Yeah. Is it Yalalu that want to call to come and send me? $1,000 worth. She just look at me. You'll be okay.
I used to say, I'm actually grateful to... I'm grateful to God. But one thing I would just say is, if you are here, or if you have Jakpa, or in the process of
Jakpa,
one thing I would just say is, you have to build your independence. It will be little by little, but so it doesn't come as a shock to you. You need to build your independence, how to coexist on your own. Yeah. Even though you meet amazing people, don't let anyone sugarcoat it. I've been blessed with meeting amazing people.
Yeah.
But it's not the same thing, because when you're free, this person is not free. When you want to hang out, I'm free on weekends, she is free on weekdays.
True.
So it's there's really no time, and you can move the same space literally, and you are online friends. If you get what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
So you need to coexist on your own. And if you are coexisting on your own, things can want to be happening to you. You just find yourself doing things you don't want to do. So that's where I feel your relationship with God matters.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's what we hold you back from. Misbehaving. So in your quest to find companionship, you start doing things you're not supposed to do. After independence, I'll say, but first you need God, then next you're independent.
Independence with community. Independence with community.
Exactly.
You can build the country would make you build independence, and God can help you build the right community.
I don't think God has created us to ever be on our own. If not, we will not have a community. We won't be called brethren. There won't be brethren in the scriptures, right? The church of God will not grow if the brethren did not grow, if the brethren did not expand, right? And so, you know, moving and relocating would always want you to be alone. But as much as God gives you capacity, because I know it's hard. It's hard to find communities. I mean, I have friends who've been in the US for years or who have jackpot and gone to different places. And like, it's like, girl, I cannot find anyone. There is no friend out here. People are just here for themselves, or they're going to lead you astray. If they're going to lead you astray, God will take them away from your path. And I know that God can help us find the right community. Because I have been blessed from community in so many different ways. Shout out to my community groups, shout out to my, you know, my friends. Like, I have been, not because they were perfect people, but because they're people who have shown up for me at different stages of life, especially post-migration, right? So build Jesus, you know, learn that independence and ask God for community. I think it's a prayer we can take to God to help us build community, whether they're in the same terrain with you, or they are in a different continent from you, or they are anywhere from you. We can still build community with the help of God. God can still help us. God can bring the right community and the right association with us. Our language, perfection with a sprinkle of holiness. That's the truth. You know, we're looking for perfect people, and we ain't perfect people ourselves. And so, yeah, I think we've said a lot. This is just to encourage, you know, like AY said, this is to encourage the hearts of people who have moved, who are moving, who plan to move, who know someone who, if you know somebody that has moved, they might share really pink JPEG pictures on Instagram, on Snapchat, on their WhatsApp status. Please reach out to them. A lot is going, they are in severe pain.
The Lord can be going through them. You know, when I call home and they're like, oh God, your skin is shiny, I'll be like, this place is filter.
It's filter, on it's air. Natural filter. No, the atmosphere is filter.
What is in the inside? Oh Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
So reach out to your friends that have jackpot.
Yeah. You need to build your mindset, right? Mm-hmm. You need to build your mind. Like, yeah. You're ready. Not going to be like Nigeria. So
yeah,
just need,
think about the fact that you're actually migrating. I think one of the things that we probably mentioned as we're talking is the fact that like we get on this high of like, ah, finally I'm gonna move, and then you move, and then there's this there's this collapse of like, what in the world am I doing? You cannot find that gig of bread on the road, you cannot buy puff and akara on the road, you're missing your father's sauce, you can't make your way, you're using pounds sterling and dollar cross to be making your hair for something that you know that divided by 100, go, if you pay somebody that money, they'll be praying for your generations to come. You know, and so you know, and so we don't get to think about these things. And so just remember that it's a process, but God is with you. God has helped people, and God will continue to help people. And so I think this is definitely one of those jackpot series that we've been doing on PGC podcast, and I'm more than happy that I got to feature my friend. We said that it was not going to be long because it was going to be my first distance, and my friend was like, I don't have anything to say, I'm not going to come. Look at my friend doing 1 hour plus. My God, it's good, people. So share the podcast, you know, let people know about the podcast. If you know someone who is planning to travel, has traveled, and you're like, this is probably going to bless them, just to hear two women, two strong women in their own field, two women of God. We are all women of God, not because we're pastors, but because we're children of God, who are just validating baby girl for life, baby girl, Jesus baby. That can just validate their experiences. Please feel free to share. If you have another thing that you want us to talk about, just like you want us to expatiate on a specific topic, or just talk through like something, you know, maybe address the issue of racism more, or address the issue of jobs and getting a job and kind of navigating that sector, feel free to just let us know on PGC. AY, thank you so much for coming. Fun fact, it's like midnight over here and it's like 6 a.m. for for my girl over there, but we made it work. We made it happen because this content must come to you. So pardon the long gist, pardon any audio this thing, just soak it in with love, right? Soak all the things with love. But thank you so much, AY, for joining in. Thank you for joining us today, and you know the drill, guys. I'll see you on another episode of the Pink Glasses Convo. So have a good night, everyone. Drop Smike. Bye.